Good afternoon. Thanks for spending a little time after the service. We felt it was important to and helpful to give an update to the congregation about SoMa National and the planned move of the Dean family. First, I want to state clearly that the elders are for Paul. Since he expressed his desire to move to SoMa National, the elders have felt that we have done all we can in our role to support what he and the family feels are their calling. We are experiencing this transition, and lots of things have been happening in the last few weeks. We're experiencing the transition as a family, and sometimes, like in all families, there is not full agreement. I want to share kind of the sequence of events so that you can get an idea of where we are in the process. And then I'd like Paul and Catherine also to just give an update on their personal update. So first, Paul informed the eldership at the end of March that he was strongly thinking of moving to Texas, followed by a letter in early April. The elders at that point were working on scheduling an initial group meeting where we could all meet together, but for various travel between Paul and everyone else, we won't be able to do that, so we met with Paul individually as we could, as soon as he was available and as soon as the elders were available. The majority of the eldership felt that Paul should wait to move and requested a meeting to discuss with Paul and Catherine, which is actually scheduled for the 17th of May, with a request for Paul not to make any major decisions before we could all meet. The elders were informed the 4th of May that Paul is moving and that Paul feels it's a decision for SoMa National and not necessarily the local body. So even though the elders are not in agreement with the timing of the Dean family move, we want to commend them to the grace of the Lord as described in Acts 13 when Paul and Barnabas elected to go different directions in ministry at different times. We would ask you to pray and direct your questions to the eldership. After speaking with Shiju, we would prefer that you contact Warren, Frank, or myself before contacting Shiju. You're welcome to contact Shiju, but if you would, in the process, speak to one of the elders, that would be preferable. If you have questions regarding Paul's thoughts shared today, I would ask that you would contact him directly. So I'm now going to ask Paul to share his thoughts with you, and then I would like to have a time to pray over Paul and Catherine.
Thank you, Tom. My wife looked at my notes, and she said, you have a lot of notes. So I guess I'll just ask for a couple 15 minutes of your time, give or take, depending on how many times I stop to get a tissue out. But I'm going to start here. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from our God who loves us dearly. Not powers above us in the sky or on the earth. Indeed, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God revealed to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. I am convinced of that. I have experienced that. So when I was in Austin this week, meeting with SoMa leaders, they were asking me about this likely move, and this likely move has been it has been step by step by step with Catherine and I, and we have been united every step along the way, and we have simply been trying to take that next step. It's just a strange thing where Jesus is like, this is the direction I want you to go, and we take that next step. And so as we were talking about this likely move, because when we were in Texas, our house hadn't sold yet. We were in Austin, and it was just like, God, if you want us to keep moving this direction, just keep affirming this with certain things. And so the leaders were asking me, why are you certain that God is calling you to Texas? And I basically said, we can't afford to live in Seattle based on our current funding level. It would be best for the family of churches if the executive director lived in a central location. And three, which is by far the most important, is that Catherine and I have heard the nearly audible voice of God telling us to go. So I'm going to do my best to describe it to you, but I'll just say this is hard. This is hard for so many reasons. Not least of it, that if you would have asked me in December, Paul, are you planning to move to Texas? I would have said, no way. And I probably would have attached salty modifiers to it. Because for the majority of my life, as hilarious as this might be, and if you're from Texas, please don't be offended by this statement, but I've always said that Texas was good for one thing. A place to store Texans. And it really was a joke, but I've never, this has not been a life's desire for me. I am a Washington elitist snob. Amen?
Amen.
She has testified to it. When I was in Ohio, that's all I talked about was going back to Washington. So, here we go. The circumstances, I'm just going to walk you through just the decision-making process. The circumstances when I took this job was simply, we had just hired Shiju. We had just made it into this business, or in this business, into this building, and people were coming back from the pandemic. And I got through that finish line, and I absolutely hit the wall. I don't know if any of you have an iPhone that has a bad battery, and it's full, it's fine, it's out. That was me. Just bam, and I was just done. I was, in order to do my work as a leader here, I often had to spend an hour-long prayer walk. God, give me the strength. Every day. I just absolutely hit the wall. I needed a break, and I needed a change. And so I prayed to God regularly, God, I am not leaving here unless you tell me to. I will stick through whatever you tell me to do, but I could really use a new role in your kingdom. And God just, after one of those prayer walks, he just presented it to me. And I was excited about taking it. I put it in front of every single mentor in my life, and they said, go for it. Now, honestly, the job as it was presented me was significantly different than the job I'm experiencing right now. Things like funding for the job that was promised didn't come through. So it's been a little bit of a dumpster fire. But nonetheless, I prayed about it. God presented it to me. We made that decision in community, and so I walked into it. And honestly, the transition, beautifully, Shiju has been so gracious through all of it, because what I wanted for our working relationship, God just has had other plans. And so he has just very gracefully, things have just, my hope early on was that I would spend year after years pouring into him. But you know, sometimes our plans are not God's plans, just life. But the transition has gone well. Shiju is doing well. It gives me so much pride to see him up here doing well. Just proud of him. Just thought this morning was just another example of just the beauty to watch someone just mature and excel right before your eyes. Just gives me a little. I know I'm not old enough to be your dad, but man, I'm proud of you. Should you? I just love to hear you preach. And it's not easy to follow in a founder's footsteps. It's one of the hardest things to do is to take over from a founder of a church, because you are used to me. And I know you guys have seen my strengths and my weaknesses. And should you has many strengths that have in a sense made up for my weaknesses. He is a systems guy. I am not a systems guy. I am a do it once and get bored guy. He is creating real strength here, and I love seeing it. But the transition has been hard for me, and it's been hard for the elders. It's been hard for Shiju. It's just transitions are hard. You change roles, different expectations, different plans. It's just difficult. But I feel like we have, and I hope today even illustrates it, we have disagreed on many things, but we're still able to look each other in the eye and just say, I love you. It's fun coming back from my trips and see the church bigger, to see new MCs, to see disciples being made, to see baptisms in memorably cold water that I had. I didn't talk to any of those people about their faith, but to watch Michelle get up here and speak eloquently about the gospel, and to see parents baptizing their kids. Oh. Proud papa moments. And the Soma family job is not all dumpster fire. There's churches being added to our family. There are leaders that have been supported. The role is a fit. The number of people that even told me in Austin, this is exactly what we needed as a family. Several of the leaders this week said, we feel like the family of churches is reborn. Some of them said, we thought it was dead. So there is lots of beauty, and there, to me, there's affirmation both here for Shiju's leadership and with the Soma family of churches with mine that God is saying, well done. Keep after it. So I believe that we made the right decisions. But the truth is that starting in January of this year, there have been some significant complications. I think most of you know the finances fell through the absolute floor for the Soma family of churches in January. I was told that I was not going to be paid, and I have not slept through the night since. Almost like clockwork, 3:00 in the morning. Just, will we be able to make our mortgage? And that's my humanity, not my theology, but it's just real. So even as you guys are throwing me this amazing party where my mentor shows up and tells you funny stories about my youth, and there's booze on the back table, and as a Baptist, you just cannot figure out why there's whiskey on the back table for a pastor's going away party. But in the middle of that, I'm just like, I don't know where the money's coming from. So, not only that, there's relational strife in the family of churches. My boss is completely exhausted. The retreat goes well, but the leaders are just like, we're just putting a hold on all of the plans because we've got to figure all of this stuff out. And so in the middle of financial crisis, there's relationship crisis with the Soma family of churches, and all I can say is that you guys just stepped up in a huge way. I am forever grateful for how the elders stepped up and provided benevolence, for how they just invited me to talk to you as a congregation and ask for help, and you guys heard me get up and ask for help in a sort of shocked way that those of you who are good at financial asks presentations said were terrible, and so we came back the second week and actually let you know what I'm doing. what God is calling me to as the executive director of the Soma family of churches, to preach the gospel, to plant churches, especially among Gen Z, and to support leaders that need supported. And you guys stepped up in a huge way. And as I was presented by the Soma family of churches the budget that I needed to raise, we raised about $10,000 short, but more or less just raised it. But I don't know how many of these adventure movies you've seen where you make it through the first challenge and then the second one pops up and it's a lot different than what you thought it was because you had incomplete information. I just kept thinking of The Perfect Storm where they just make it through the first little batch and then it gets calm. We're like, yeah, maybe we made it through, and then the waves start again. Like, yeah, we're done. That's just what this has felt like. And the elders were so generous because they immediately deployed our super uptight budget guy, Chad, if you know him, and Chad just dived into a system that was completely broken, three different financial systems trying to work together, and I couldn't even get an accurate report. And it took Chad 3 months to go through it and figure it out. But by the time he figured it out, I was done fundraising here, and what he presented to me was, yeah, not only do you need to raise your salary, Paul, you need to raise salary for everybody on your team, and the general fund is $17,000 in the hole. So in the middle of this, Catherine and I, because we've been, this isn't our first rodeo, we start praying, God, what are you trying to tell us about with all this? Is this just a crisis, or are you trying to get our attention? And God begins to speak to us through the pain. And I don't know, maybe I've been so rooted in the state of Washington that it took something like this for me even to ask the question. But God starts answering and begins to answer with guidance. And as we pray and listen, God starts speaking, not just to me, but I would say even speaks to Catherine first as she looks at me and just says, our work is done here. And that's the kind of thing you start asking again and again and again. God, I really would like to hear that clearly. And as he's speaking to us, your work is done here. And the first time that I heard it was when I put my hand on Shiju's back and prayed for him as he was being installed in an elder, and God just said, well done, you finished your race. And that's just a general comment that has sat around in my head, and I think that was just his first way of saying, Paul, I'm inviting you out. But as we began to continue to pray, the next thing we heard from God was, I want you to go to Texas. And we could spend 15 minutes, I could tell you every piece, but honestly, my response was, seriously? Seriously? I don't have any family in Texas. I hate the Cowboys. And I'm right to.
And the Astros.
The Astros. Cheaters. But we start asking other people to pray. Would you please pray with us? Would you please pray with us? And almost to a person here, the answer was, we will pray, but you're not going. We will pray, but God's already told us you're not going. And that's both annoying and super loving. Because think about how, I think I'd honestly feel bad if everyone's like, yeah, would you please go? And so we start asking for specific prayers, you know, like Tom mentioned, just laying these things before the elders and say, would you please pray and speak into this? Would you please pray and help us make this decision? And just the response, I mean, my 95-year-old grandma, she's praying. She doesn't want me to go. But what I keep hearing back from people is they are sad and they are afraid for the church. The people outside of the state and the Sonoma family are like, man, that would be really helpful because this Texas region needs a lot of help. The Pacific Northwest actually has 4 very strong leaders. The Texas region has none. And it's divided and they need reconciled and just a little bit chaotic. But people in state are sad, fearful for the church. And so visited several times, kind of confirmed the need there and confirmed just the spirit saying, this is your new home. Catherine went with me, experienced it as well. Strange new love for the place and the people, just like I experienced the first time that I visited Issaquah. And as I keep praying, because I really need God to affirm this, God has did something he's never done with me before, which is he starts interrupting my prayers. So the daily prayer sounds something, would often for Catherine and I sound, God, would you please give us direction? We don't want to be ahead of you. We don't want to be behind you. We want to be with you on this. And I would get to, God, would you please give me, and the answer, and he would just whisper in my mind, you already know where you're going. I'm sending you to Texas. Just repeatedly, to the point where I just stopped asking. And then I start telling people that I feel like God's leading us to Texas, and the emotional response that they gave me was so unbelievably painful to me that I, one morning, I don't like hurting you. So the response was just abandonment. And I don't blame the person for feeling like that. I know what it's like for people to leave me. So after that meeting, I just told God I'm not going. I just, you know, I'm super brave, super strong. So I just said, God, I'm not going. I don't want to hurt this church. I don't want anything bad to happen to it. I'm not going. And I got in my car. I made it halfway up the hill. And God just, in a beautiful, kind, but stern way, said, are you going to go where I called you to go? And I immediately sat up in my seat, sat up straight, and I said, yes, Lord. And then I walked in the house, and Catherine looked at me kind of funny and says, are you dragging your feet on this move? And I said, yes, dear, I am dragging my feet. And she pulls out her phone, this is what I read on Instagram this morning. Catherine gently reminded me that she also was dragging her feet, because we love you. And there's just this 4-page Instagram, apparently Instagram does have uses that are honorable, but it's from Beth Moore telling everybody on her Instagram account, but I think she just wrote it for us, saying, one of the things that stops us from following God is sentimentality, that we love the people that we're with, and so when God calls us to go, we just don't. And the best thing that you can do for them is to let go. The best thing you can do for them and for you is to, for them to see you, hear God say go, and you say yes, Lord. And we had been doing all sorts of exploratory things. We'd had the realtor over our house already because we're just one step at a time. But I had just kind of hit pause on the whole sell the house thing. Catherine read that to me, and I just said, okay. And I texted the realtor and said, let's roll. Because one of the more profound stories in the Bible is God telling Abraham to do something. And Genesis says, and he got up early the next morning and did it. And I had been dragging my feet. So that was the point where I just wrote a letter to the elders and I said, God is calling me to go. And brothers and sisters, I believe in making decisions in community. What's hard on this decision is the community has expanded from my brothers and sisters at Soma Eastside to the Soma family of churches. And as I make this decision, what I used to do is just come before the elders and pray over things and submit to a vote, but it's just a bigger family now. And honestly, I don't even feel like anybody got a vote. I don't feel like Catherine and I went around the table and said, are we sure this is what we want to do? It was more like, God's calling us, and we have to obey, because that's what's best. Love you, sister. So how do we know it's the voice of God? It fits with his instructions in Scripture. Let's just remember that apostolic types are supposed to be sent. And I can't imagine that it was any less painful for the early church to send their best and probably some of their worst. And some of the ones in the middle. But we know that just they were sent. You remember what the Ephesian elders' response to Paul saying, hey, I'm not coming back anymore? They wept. But the apostolic people are supposed to be sent. I don't know if they had an established system. I don't know how haphazard it felt. I wish this decision that I would have felt like I had more time. But it's not. It's the near audible voice of God that's moving me. And the second thing I'm thinking of is that you all should not depend on me. Paul planted churches, confirmed their faith, appointed elders, and then went on. Because there was another church to plant, another church to plant, another church to plant. You know, most denominations do not allow founders to stay. So it's possible that God's just saying, hey, the best thing for you is for Paul to move on, for Paul and Catherine to move on. And truly, my gifts are much better as far as starting and ordering and then pass the work on than to stay and to create systems. So it fits Scripture. I think it fits my particular calling. And honestly, I have heard God's voice before. Brothers and sisters, this move to Texas is not the craziest thing that Catherine and I have ever done after hearing the voice of God. Do you know what the craziest one was? Coming here. Do you know how much money we had in the bank when we got here? It was less money than we had on our credit card bill, I'll tell you that much. We went before the church, they sent us, and they said, we can't afford to send you, but we can give you a garage sale. And they gave us a garage sale, and we made $3,400, and then we took $200, rented a flatbed truck to get rid of the stuff that we didn't sell, but we left with a net of $3,200. We landed, and we lived in Marty's house. I got a job selling TVs. I left an unfinished PhD in Pullman. My dad said, if you don't finish it now, you're not going to finish it. He tried to talk me out of it for an hour. He said, what are you doing? You don't have a plan. You don't have a budget. You don't have a place to live. I said, God is calling me, Dad. Here's the prayer request. He's like, yeah, it's a pretty impressive list of coincidences. It was nuts. And I was convinced that God wasn't sending us here to plant a successful church. I was convinced he was sending us here to teach me something. So how do I know it's the voice of God? I think it fits Scripture. I think it fits my calling. I think it fits the way that he's spoken to us in the past. And I was at my mentor's retirement last weekend. And I'm sitting in the back of a full auditorium. Must have been 600 people in that room. I met person after person after person who had come to faith or had their life significantly changed by my mentor. You know what my feeling was when he left being my youth pastor to go and do that? Mad. Tearful. It was just devastating. And to be in that room last weekend and to see all those people thankful for what he had done. I mean, to the point where they gave him a memory book where they, you know, people wrote in, said, "Thank, this is what I appreciate about you." They brought it out to him. It was that wide, like that, not exaggerating, that thick, 2 volumes. I just sat in that seat and cried. Because, you know, when God calls us, he knows what he's doing, even if it's heartbreaking. And I'm pretty sure, and I know that one of you have already made your thoughts clear on this, but you want me to follow God's will. You want me to follow when he calls. I know you do. So our new plan, God willing, and may I never make another ministry plan without that happy little phrase at the end. God willing. We are moving in July. The house is pending right now. What's really driving us is school year. My wife is a teacher, and my daughter will be a junior. So we want to get there in time to get ready for the Texas school year that starts early. Our funding, our current funding levels do not allow us to stay here, but they do cover ministry in Texas. And those of you who have supported us, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And if you want to help support us, we love that. If you thought that supporting us was just to keep us here in Issaquah and you don't want to support us any farther, that is between you and God, and I won't feel bad if you withdraw. If you want to support, we're thrilled. And if you just want to be on our prayer list and you can't afford to help us, just text me. I'll add you to it. You'll get to see pictures and reports from every trip. And man, I just can feel your prayers when I'm out. And I believe that what I saw this week in Austin was just God saying yes, and God supporting us in beautiful ways. And I just want to remind you that we are not leaving the family. We're leading you guys in a different way on a national level. And as often as the elders will let me come back and that we can afford, we will. I would love to stop in several times a year. I have no idea all the things that God will lead us to in Texas. It's possible he'll have us help plant another church. For sure the region needs supported, and it'll be a much easier flight to the different places that we need to go. I will continue to mentor Shiju as much as he needs and wants. It'll have to be on the telephone or Zoom most of the time. But Jeff Vanderstelt wants you to know he's only 20 minutes away. And Chris Sinusall and Justin Westcott are also close. And we would love for you guys to pray. The goal that the Soma family of churches has, our 10-year goal, is to plant 3,000 missional communities. And we would love for you guys to pray, and I believe that you guys will be central to that. 3,000 MCs, by the way, is 300 churches, brothers and sisters. Last thing I'll say is I just want to encourage you to press in and help Soma Eastside. Catherine and I know that leaving will create a void here. And I just encourage you to press in. Some of you have, I'll just go to meddling right away. Some of you have not jumped in and helped because I have been here. I think God is calling some of you to step in and take leadership in certain areas that I've traditionally led. Would love to see that. I'm going to encourage you guys to be family. And I want you guys to be functional family. It is so, it's just such a tragedy. Evangelicalism, this is the process. Something happens at the church that I don't like. I complain about it, and then I leave. Or I leave, and then I complain about it. That is not functional family. Let's be functional family. See something you don't like. Press in. Talk it through. Without question, I trust the elders at Soma Eastside Church. I trust, should you. If God had to stay here, and if he, you know, pulls an Abraham and tells us next week, just wanted to see if you were listening. Look, it's happened before. We're all laughing, but it's, I mean, honestly, it's in the Bible. If he just pulls that, I would say, okay, fine. I'll stay. And then I would sit in that second row, and I would happily listen to Shiju and follow him as my lead elder. I want you to do the same. I trust him. I trust Tom sitting behind me. He is competent. He is thoughtful. He is kind. And I see him practice hospitality. I've seen it for over a decade. He is a good man. I trust Frank. He has been like a dad to my kids. And you are so fortunate to have Warren. Just that beautiful mix of a shepherd's heart, an evangelist gift. He checks on me. I know he checks on you. And he's so good at leading men towards following Jesus. You guys have no idea how many amazing, beautiful leaders you have in this church. I just encourage you guys to step up, men and women, step up, press in. Don't get mad and leave. I don't like it because Paul's not here anymore. Honestly, people, you're misremembering all the stupid things I did. I can remind you. And honestly, you shouldn't be following, should you? You shouldn't be following Tom. You shouldn't be following Frank. You shouldn't be following Warren. And you shouldn't be following me. You really should be following Jesus. This is his church. Let's not forget this. Please press in. Please get involved. Please step into the gap. Please give more. Jesus' kingdom is worth it. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, not life, not angels, not demons. Not our fears for today or our worries for tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. Not the powers above us, not the ones on the earth. Indeed, nothing in creation can separate you from the love of God that is revealed to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Did I miss anything? Thank you for metaphorically standing right by my side. She's often so quiet, you guys have no idea of her strength. And God hasn't called her to stand up in front of you and talk to you as often as I do, but she is amazing, and she has a pioneer's strength. You've been so lucky to have her around. I just want to publicly honor her.
Lord Jesus,
we trust you, and we thank you that you are sovereign over all. Lord, we only have the wisdom that you give us, but you are ultimately the wise one. So, Lord, we pray for Paul and Catherine and their family, Lord, as they pursue this call. Lord, we entrust them to your grace. Lord, we entrust that you have the best plan. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to turn to you, to put all our cares, all our concerns, all our fears in your hands, and then only take what you give us. Lord, we give you thanks that we can be together as family, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, that you have made us that, that you loved us so much that you wanted to bond us together as family. So, Lord, we continue to commit to one another because that's what you want us to do. And, Lord, we love you. We ask for your grace. We ask for your peace. We ask for Paul to get a restful night after night, knowing that you are the God of peace. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks again for coming. Please do ask the questions that you have of us individually. And if we need to, we can have another meeting about things, but we'd love for you to just approach the eldership or Paul individually. We're not going to do an open Q&A now. So just go in peace, and we're all available to speak further on anything that you heard today. So love you.